Welcome, lovelies, to today's podcast where we are going to unpack the wonder of the Supergirl syndrome with my beautiful friend. Oh, Lindsay, I'm just so excited that you're here with me today. This is so fun that I get to share you. It's my favorite thing, connecting friends with friends. And so here you are.
I can tell.
Welcome.
I can tell it's your favorite thing. You're a connector.
I would love for you to share with this amazing group of lovelies with See Here Love your work with teen girls and just all who you are, what you do. Share a little bit with us today.
Sure. Well, I started a company about 13 years ago now called Bold New Girls, and it started just really simply. I have a heart for education and I have a heart for having meaningful conversations with young girls. So I started with one-on-one coaching, and then that just kind of grew to writing some books. I started with Growing Strong Girls, and then I built confidence, I think, in being able to teach teenagers and then eventually starting to teach young women. And so I started to write these books and grow in my speaking and presenting. And I'm just continuously in awe of girls and also curious about girls. And just, I can't seem to get enough. Like, I'm always learning more from them and from research and from books. And I'm just really excited to get to do what I do.
That's wonderful. Now we first met, I want to say, it's been a couple of years, I feel like, but it really closely within the last year.
Yeah, definitely.
We go to the same church and we minister into the same community, which is
Yep.
so beautiful. And I've sat under your teaching. I've learned from you so much. It's been a joy. We have a joint love for coffee and women and and these young girls. And so I am really excited to share the resources that you've created with this community. We hear a ton about girls being strong and capable, and I believe that. Sometimes beneath that, people are quietly like exhausted. And that brings us something to this topic that you have been spending a lot of time diving into called the Supergirl syndrome. And so I'd love for you to define it and talk about the earliest signs where you see that showing up in teen girls, because we're looking at the teen, but we're going all the way back and kind of looking at some of the roots and how she becomes who she becomes. And so walk us through how you came like to this title. What does it mean, and how can we identify it in teens?
Yeah, so I love words, and so I think just the phrase Supergirl syndrome was very interesting to me. And what it means really simply is this pressure that girls are feeling to be all things to all people all of the time. And that is unrealistic and idealistic and obviously just too much. But these are the girls I think you would notice as the high achievers, the accomplishers, the perfectionists, the quote unquote the good girls. They tend to be overly responsible, overly mature. They kind of seem like they're growing up really fast. And just like all around all stars, super like multifaceted, multi-talented. And I think with that is a lot of praise and a lot of applause. And so it is a way that girls learn to feel good, and it's a way that they learn to define their self-worth. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think in terms, what I'm always looking at is the too much, like where achieving is great, but what is too much achieving, too much pressure, too much on her shoulders. And I think what we start to notice, obviously, we all see an increase in stress and anxiety and other mental health concerns. We'll see a girl being overly perfectionistic, or the flip of that coin is a procrastinator, just because it's too much, she doesn't even try. I think we'll see that they are often chronically fatigued. They have real difficulty setting boundaries, and they're just the P's, I call them, but the perfectionists, the pleasers, the placaters, the performers. And again, there's nothing wrong with these things, but it's when we're noticing these signs of unhealth, where they're out of balance, where they're too busy, taking on too much, and there's just not enough rest. That's where it becomes a problem, and that's what I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, there's some adult women that are listening in today going like, "Oh my goodness, she's just described me." So we're gonna
Yeah.
get to this in a minute because I feel like you totally described not only myself as a teenager, but as an adult. So let's unpack this even more. Why do you think so many girls, yeah, feel this pressure to be everything? They are, like what you said, the high achieving, kind, confident, like so social justice part, and then they're
Yeah.
social, like actually with their friend groups and whatever it is that they're all involved in and put together all at once. Like they're like actually like looking like super models too.
Well,
So
and to make
where
it
is
look
this coming
easy,
from?
they're not trying. Like they just wake up this way, and it's like,
Yes.
that's not true. They're really trying. They're putting in the time, right? But it comes from many places. It is not one thing. Nothing ever is. But if we start at the largest scale, it's societal and cultural standards and pressures. I tell parents, girls, when they're born, they get a memo, you can be anything. And that's so amazing. And we want to celebrate that. And we've come so far that girls have so many options and so many opportunities. But what girls hear and what they're trained is that they have to be everything all at once. And that's where the pressure comes in. So it's now not, the world is your oyster. It's like, hey, it's go time. You gotta hustle. You gotta hurry. You gotta do it all. And you have to do it all at once, all today. And so I think on that level, it's societal standards, cultural pressures, cultural norms. But there's also pressure closer to home, coming from family, from peers, keeping up with siblings. From teachers at school and coaches and mentors, from her peer group, who she's hanging out with. And all of this now is magnified by social media. So I think back to when we were little, we had maybe 30 kids in our class to compare with. And maybe if we were ambitious, we would compare ourselves to the school. So maybe a few hundred. But now girls are comparing themselves to everybody in the entire world. Girls who are their age, influencers, celebrities, girls who are a little bit older than her. And she's just seeing constant images of this is what someone else is achieving. And she's thinking, wow, I'm so behind. So I have to try harder. I have to strive more. I have to achieve greater and accomplish faster. And I think that obviously the world has changed a lot with our dependency now on technology, but I think it's so multifaceted. And all of this too gets internalized. So now it's her own pressure. She's putting that pressure on herself. She's taking on more than she can handle because of all of those messages that she should be doing this.
I'm
So it's
hearing
a
you
lot.
say that it's not just about ambition, and there's a healthy version of girls that want to accomplish things, but it's about expectations stacking up in every direction in her world. And I really do want to talk about how the Supergirl syndrome can show up in teens versus, adults. And so what does that look like for the adult woman who's listening in going, not a teenager, but you're describing me right now, Lindsay, like, wow, what is this?
Yeah, I actually think it looks very similar. I think we all stack our to-do lists and our plates so much, and there's that feeling of, I got to do more, and also that pull of like it's just not enough. And so we see women, again, it's amazing that we're in so many roles and we're doing so many things and we're, also now adding that pressure, I guess, of self-care, like take care of yourself and take time for yourself. And I think it looks very similar that if this is, if we are a If we were a super girl and struggled with Supergirl syndrome, we're now super women with the same struggle. But I like to think, this is me personally, and with I've noticed with some of the women that I work with, that with age you do get a little bit smarter. I think you start to question, first of all, why am I doing this? Am I trying to prove to yet another person that I'm capable? That I can accomplish, that I can achieve more? And could we reframe that to maybe not prove our worth, but know our worth, live from our worth, and then do great things? I'm not saying don't be ambitious. I'm a big fan of do whatever you want. I love it. But I think there's an important distinction between the why, what's driving it. I have spent a long time achieving and accomplishing for that stamp of approval and that high five and the gold stars, and I love it. And at some point on my journey, I realized, but I don't feel that way. I don't feel accomplished. I don't feel confident. I don't think I know my worth. And so as we grow, I think we start to learn, hopefully learn, true self-worth. And I think we just get smarter about self-care and boundaries and rest and being able to say no to people and disappoint people and not take on everything, but take on one thing at a time and do it well and then take on the next thing. And I think we become more self-aware. We become, I think, more knowledgeable of ourselves, what's too much for us, what's maybe not enough, where we want to push, and hopefully just coming back to that true self where we are nurturing ourselves, we are honoring rest, we are seeing rest as productive, as equally productive as, doing something great at work or going back to school or writing that book. I think that we need to reprioritize, and I think we are. I just think that you don't know that when you're young. You're just really caught up in hustle culture, and that's no fault of a girl. It's what she's born into.
I just wonder if there's adults that are listening. Obviously, this is the Wonder series, so I'm wondering all the time as I'm doing these interviews that when the pressure becomes constant, it just doesn't stay in the mind, but it shows up emotionally and physically. And I think there's a lot of women that have become more in tune, or maybe we're talking about this more. Maybe it's another podcast episode where it's like stuff is showing up in our bodies. We're sensing it in our emotions. We're more maybe aware of our nervous systems, and there's more education and more conversation around things we've never talked about before. And so I wonder if we, with age, we're becoming more aware of mentally, physically, emotionally, what's going on in us, but we might not know what to do with that. So I do want to keep on like kind of pressing in. When you see this with, because you've written a book about this, and it'll be available for people to learn from and to do a deeper dive. We're still like kind of surface right now in our conversation, but what are some of those long-term consequences that you've noticed in your research when girls internalize the belief that their worth is tied to performance or perfection? Maybe as adults, we can unpack this a little bit in ourselves too, as we're reflecting and listening.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is just the obvious rise in mental health concerns. So that's overwhelm, that's stress, that's anxiety. Long-term anxiety can become depression. We can notice signs of self-harm. If girls don't get the chance to express themselves, especially their true raw feelings, they can cope by turning on themselves, right? And that is also an important sign to pay attention to. There's definitely signs with chronic fatigue. As I said, there's perfectionism. So you'll see that, a girl pushes herself beyond her own limits. She just can't stop. She can't pause. It's never good enough. She's frustrated by her own success or lack of success. Procrastination, again, some girls show it shows as looking lazy, like they're not doing anything, but I think they've seen the show and they're like, I can't be part of that. Like, where would I start? And so they do nothing. There's a lot of fear in failing and making mistakes. I think that we can see it in just girls being hard on themselves, and definitely with comparison culture and competing with peers and just general lack of self-worth and self-confidence, because there's that never, it's never going to be good enough, kind of pull in her spirit. So.
I want to talk about how it's like kind of hard for adults sometimes to realize where this belief takes root. It can take root really early on in our journeys. And sometimes when I'm talking with women, I want to take them back. I go, okay, tell me about your young adult years. Tell me about your teenage years. Tell me about your childhood. And then you can start to kind of pan out where the root is or some of the patterns. What do you think adults most misunderstand about teenage girls right now?
I think what I'm noticing that's most obvious right now is that girls know that they're under this pressure and they don't want to be. They didn't ask for it and they don't want it. But what's happening is that many of them are maturing physically, so they're looking older. There is pressure for them to act like teenagers before they're teenagers. And that does not equate with the cognitive capacity to handle all of these extra pressures and responsibilities. So again, it's a bit of a trick because she's given praise for being so mature, being so responsible for her age, doing so much. But they really, inside, I believe, they're crying out saying, I just want to be little. Like, I just want to play. I just want to be a little girl. I don't want this pressure. I don't want to have a phone and keep up with my phone and do all these things. It's too much. But that's really hard to admit or to have a conversation about from that really real and raw place when you're getting praise for the thing that you don't even want. So it's a little bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm just wandering away today, but
Yeah,
I
yeah,
do
yeah.
wonder if underneath all of that, like coping and striving, there's fears that girls never actually say out loud. And how can we create spaces where that can be articulated? Or, I mean, I'm a big fan of therapy and mentorship and having an auntie in your life. And like, there's this, like, literally takes a village to raise a child. And a lot of your research is this under, like, focused on preteens and teenagers in that youth and adolescence kind of season of life?
Yeah, I really do look at all stages of development. So starting from the really little ones like you, I like to know the root. Where is this early pressure coming from? What's around her? Like, what's her environment, her family culture? How much screen time is she, like, how much is she on her phone? Who's influencing her? But I think one of the things I've learned, and it doesn't matter what age or stage, but everybody benefits from having these really open conversations that are about pressure. And it doesn't have to be about her, because what she might hear is, hey, I notice you're cracking. You can't handle the pressure. Clearly you're not competent. And that's not the message. But I think when we have conversations in general about pressure, whether that's a celebrity, an influencer, maybe her friends, people on her sports teams, like, hey, like, what do you think is driving her? Or what do you think are some of her other pressures? Maybe the ones we see, the ones that we don't see. And we can slowly lead our way to, hey, what are your pressures? I'd love to hear about them. And sometimes that's enough, just helping girls see that there's pressure, have that validation piece, like, whoa, you're taking on a lot. And that doesn't mean you can't handle it. It's just recognition. That's all I needed when I was growing up, is for someone to say, wow, you're doing a lot. I didn't actually need anything beyond that. But it was the recognition that really helped. And then some girls do need the unpacking and sort of the strategizing. Like, is there something we can take off your plate? Is there something that we can maybe defer to summertime? Do you need a tutor? Do you need more help? Like, let's sort of work with it so that it's not stress and overwhelm in this really abstract way. It's stress that's now on a piece of paper or a conversation. And now we have something to work with. And we can help put girls in charge of that, right? What do you need? Or what can you do differently? Or how can you find more time to rest? And when they have that agency, we lower their anxiety. Because now they're in charge and it's not madness. It's something that's being recognized and seen and heard and talked about and sorted. And there is always something we can do. That's my philosophy. And sometimes it's just a conversation. Sometimes it's taking something off her schedule. Sometimes it's just removing a pressure that we might not even know she's under. And so I think just heartfelt conversations are great, but sometimes they need to start really big, I think, so it doesn't feel like interrogation and it doesn't feel like you're finding flaw with her or fault. You're actually using it to help her see her strengths, to validate those strengths, and then to, yeah, strategize together. It's such a great technique.
Can you please write a book about parents asking questions and, like, what to say? Because I feel like all of us want a manual and we're like, okay.
No, it is. It is in the book, and I'm happy to help on an individual basis. But I think I do unpack a lot of the different pressures. First of all, the pressure to look good, the pressure to fit in, the pressure to be confident, which is a bit of a trick because it's be confident, but not too confident. The pressure to keep up with labels and people and trends and language and all of that. But at the end of each chapter, which I think is becoming my style, I do offer very practical strategies, including language and scripts. This is what Perfect. I would say. Yeah, this is how you show empathy. This is how you open this conversation and see what you can get. Because you know there's no, like, one size fits all. It's just you keep trying and you keep all these creative, keep up with these creative questions and you'll get some meaningful conversation. But it always starts with our presence. I can't emphasize that enough. We have to be available. We have to give her our full attention. It also, we have to give her a lot of empathy and understanding. It's just hard to be a girl, period, full stop. And a lot of curiosity. I think if you want to shut down a conversation, criticize a girl and you'll get nothing. But if you can just be open and curious and see her strengths and give her a lot of credit for trying. You know, we obviously value productivity and we value good outcomes and high achievement and high accomplishment, but what we don't value as much is process, mistakes, timing, intuition, just effort. So I think that if we can add that, I'm not saying it's an either or, but if we can just notice the kind of the obvious and the less obvious, girls really appreciate that. They do.
What you're describing is actually what real support looks like, the identifying those emotional needs and actually trying to support the girl that feels overwhelmed or not good enough. And but our urge as adults is to fix and lecture or minimize, because
100%.
that's the other thing, or dismiss. Oh, what, anxious? What? Oh, depressed?
Yeah,
What
you're
do you
so
mean?
great. What do you
Yeah. And you
mean?
kind of like try to flip it, and you mean it honestly, but it just doesn't help in those situations. So I'm so grateful that you have some scripts for us to refer to.
Well, here's
That's
one. This is a key takeaway. When a girl is talking and telling you something and maybe you don't know what to do, all you have to do is literally lean in with your body and say, "Tell me more about that." And it's just the
love it.
nicest like invitation and encouragement, because I think you're right. Our go-to is like, "That doesn't seem hard," or, "You've done it before," or, "What are you talking about?" And we don't mean to, but we are kind of shutting down that conversation. And we don't want a shutdown girl. That is the opposite. We want her to express her whole self and just be really real with us. But just tell me about that. Tell me more. I'd love to hear that. Can you give me an example? And you're just like pulling out of her. So it really has nothing to do with us, though we like to feel it does. And we're so excited to teach and to correct and to save, but maybe flip it and think about, how can I get more information, more feelings? What's really going on? What's the story behind the story? Like, I think it's a pretty good tool to use.
Wow, that's a perfect way to wrap up for today, because I want to just give people a taste of who you are. I want to give and the resources that you have available for us. And so people can find your resources on Amazon or on your website. And like you mentioned there, you do offer coaching and speaking. And I just would highly recommend for people to follow you and to learn from your resources. Because Lindsay, look, I know you're writing to about young girls, but I think as adult women, the more that we know about ourselves and maybe reflect on the young girl that's within us, I think we will become healthier women, and we would understand that we are also seen, heard, and loved by God so deeply. And sometimes that takes a good self-reflection. So although you might be getting this book for a teenage friend or for a preteen or in your life, maybe this book is for you, is what I'm trying to say.
That's
And
it.
I
It's
can't
twofold. Like, we're
wait to,
helping the
yes.
women and the moms as they help their daughters, and it's fine to be transparent about that with your daughter. I'm learning this too. I'm trying to be
Yeah.
confident too. I'm trying to rest because I feel like I'm overscheduled and a bit stressed right now. The more we can articulate our
Wow.
inner experience, the more she'll learn, and it just normalizes it. And it's so healthy and so beautiful to have these conversations.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Lindsay Seely, educator, author, speaker. I am so glad to call you my friend.
Thanks.
Love you.
Me too. Thanks, Anne.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.